And if Tom-san come to Japan, Kyoto, of course you are interested in the temple, but you could be surprised to see the usual ordinary house and most of frame of windows. It is industrialized. But when I visited Urbana-Champaign, the old building, like your house, is more than 100 years old. And the frame of window is wood, isn't it? Wood. And the old ones, and in the Packard, old many frame of window, but we don't have such kind of windows frame in Japan as usual house, more industrial. Don't you think, Ryuta-san, that the frame of window is the most interesting? Even the wood house.
Yes, I think. I think you're right. We just tend to use window frames made out of aluminum and stuff like that. And even in like older houses in Kyoto and places like that, when they renovated in like maybe 1960s, 70s, 80s, they've all replaced those wooden frames with industrial pre-made aluminum frames. And I guess the art of maintaining wooden framed windows and doors in those buildings are now kind of lost in Japan, even in cities like Kyoto, maybe except for special buildings like temples and castles, but for ordinary buildings, everyday buildings, maybe the art of, you know, or maybe even the carpentry of making those things are probably lost, I suspect.
Yeah. London also, the housing, the frame of window or door is wood, but Kyoto is ancient city, even though very modernized, I think.
Oh, yeah. And then that goes back to what I was saying about just the way things are made and the way things have been used, because Kyoto goes back to well before windows with glass. So the tradition of making windows with glass probably, or maybe didn't take root, wasn't around, because older buildings didn't have that. And, you know, I don't know. Here, that's how we've done it since we had glass. We don't have any buildings really or anything standing made before there was industrial glass. You know, in England, for example, they had, you know, they used to handmade glass. It was all these small pieces. That's where stained glass came from. They just put pieces together. That's how you had to create a big window. You had to put a lot of small pieces together to do that. So the making of plate glass of large sheets didn't happen until the late 1800s, I think, or maybe mid 1800s, something like that. I'm not sure, but it's a recent enough development. And here, of course, you know, as the country was springing up and building new buildings everywhere, everybody had windows like that, because that was the new thing. And maybe in Japan that just didn't happen the same way. You know, they had their windows and then they moved on to newer windows. So I don't know. It's hard to say. You'd have to do every little thing like that is its own field of study in a way. Spend a lot of time figuring out how that came about.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And maybe like Japan just leapfrogged from a very old way of building windows to a very industrialized way of installing windows. But maybe because that probably partly explains why we don't have secondhand shops like Packard Warehouse, where parts of house or the materials to fix your house or upgrade your house are being sold. Parts of historical architecture are being sold. It's just, I mean, yeah, so the standard houses, most of the standard everyday houses in Japan just happens to have industrialized, standardized doors and windows. There's no room to install a piece of historical doors or bathtubs, things like that. It's all has to be standardized sizes, and you cannot cut into your walls without compromising the actual coherence of the house itself. I mean, it's easy to say we don't have DIY culture over here in Japan. I guess it's that mix of those, I mean, some of the mix of those things that's part of it, making it impossible to inherit older sort of architectural, inherit the pieces of architectural history that way.
Oh, yeah. And of course here, this country is young enough that we still have a tradition, you know, that you would call it this colonialism, but we call it pioneer spirit. So a lot of people, you know, between wars and disease and all sorts of things, the native population was wiped out in large part, in both intentionally and unintentionally. So really there was a long period of just where the Europeans came over here and found a lot of empty land, or what seemed to them as empty land. So they just, there weren't cities there before that they would recognize as cities, so they didn't try to save anything. So to them, it was all just open, you know. And so everybody, for many, many years, it was pretty standard for people to have to, they were farmers. They were, you know, going out on the land and starting new communities and new things. So everybody needed to know how to do everything, to build, to make things from scratch, to grow their food, process their food, to do all these things. There weren't, you know, craftsmen around that you could hire to do that, but you had to do it yourself. And so I think that tradition has just lasted here for a long time. There's still this sense that if you're a real, you know, handy person, you'll know how to do all these things, and you will learn how to do them, and you can make your own house. And we're miles away from the way people used to do it, obviously, but there's still this sense that, yeah, I'm a guy that knows how to fix my house. You know, I can fix my car and I can fix my house, and that makes me more of a man or more of a, you know, adult or whatever, however you define it. And you know, that's just part of the sort of the American sense of self, you know, self-identity. The way we think about ourselves is that we have that sort of pioneering spirit. We can fix things and we can make things happen. And that may be where some of our DIY culture comes from, is just our
national kind culture. Of a tradition.
It seems traditional, and it just feels like something you ought to be able to do.